Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, especially for your son. And we pray, Lord, that as we watch his trial before Pilate today, that we would realize the conflict is never changed. Satan's kingdom is always the same, and your kingdom never changes. And the two will always be in opposition, and will always use contrary methods. So as we look at this false trial of Christ today, and we see how the kingdoms of the world operate, we would realize that we have the same situation now as he did then. And Lord, we would go forward in strength and in power as Jesus did, knowing that just like him, even if we die, we will be raised in newness of life. So we pray that we would be brave as Jesus Christ was brave. And we pray that we would be strong as Jesus Christ was strong, and that our time of greatest weakness, you would show yourself powerful. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 18, Jesus goes through his second trial. The night is nearly done now, and the Jews have finished their false trial. And they now take him to the trial that really matters, because the Jews had no power to put to death, but the Roman state did. And so now we see him before Pilate. And the thing that I want you to understand is Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus says that they will treat you like they treated him. If he, being the king, is treated a certain way, the subjects of the king will be treated the same way. So you and I, don't think about it. Expect that the things that they say and do to you in today's society will be similar to the things that they did to Jesus when he was brought to trial. You will not be treated fairly by the world. The world talks justice, but the world is about, remember, the lust of the flesh, the lust of my eyes, the pride of my life, the things that make me feel good. And so when Jesus stands before the state and stands before the world, he's going to be tried as the world always tries him. And we're going to look at this starting right now in John 18 and verse 28. It says, they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium. Now, the Praetorium was built right next to the temple. There was a fortress called Antonia that the Romans built. And the Romans built it right next to the temple so they could keep a watch over everything that was done by the Jews. And he was taken to the Praetorium, which is the Hall of Judgment, where Pilate would sit on a marble throne, and he would judge the cases brought before him. And there were big old columns, and it was very Roman, and there were centurions all around and soldiers. And it was a scene where judgment was supposed to happen with Roman justice. But look at verse 30. It said in verse 30, they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have brought him to you. He asked Pilate, says, what are the charges? They didn't bring any charges. They had charged him with blasphemy. The Romans didn't care about blasphemy. But because they charged him with blasphemy, now Pilate comes and he says, what are the charges? They said, he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. He's an evildoer, or we wouldn't have brought him. No charges, no specifics, just raw power. And this is the way the world will work. See, their mind was already made up. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 talks about, he says, when they speak of you as of evildoers, make sure that they have to make it up. That there's nothing behind that accusation, just like there wasn't with Christ. He once told them, is any of you convicted me of sin? And they all stayed quiet. They knew he wasn't what they were calling him, but they bring him before Pilate and say, he's an evildoer. He's a bad man. They're going to do the same with you. Their mind's already made up, and they've trumped up the charges. They just said, "This, you know, these are the charges." They had false witnesses say, "He's a king," and he's a... Now, he was a king, but he wasn't any threat to Pilate or Caesar. His kingdom was spiritual. His kingdom was among them, he says, or within them. His kingdom was a kingdom of changed hearts, following the rule of God's law. He wasn't a foe to Caesar. Nothing Caesar was going to do was going to affect that. The real charge is that he claimed to be God. That's the real charge. And so as we look at this, and we see the persecuting kingdom, we see that the kingdom comes, first of all, then, with raw power. All they want is, we're going to burn it down. We're going to push it through. There doesn't have to be any truth behind it. There doesn't have to be any substance behind it. There just has to be the raw exercise of what I want. See, they have an attitude towards law, and that attitude is you follow the law when it's convenient. It's the same in our country today. We have a constitution. Now, here's the thing about our constitution. It's not meant for when the times are at peace, or when the times are fine, or when everything is going well, or when everything's prosperous. When everything's prosperous, you don't need these things. When things are falling apart, that's when you need a Bill of Rights. Governors going around and telling people, you can't sing in church. I thought we had free speech. You can't say certain things. I thought we had free speech. Well, that's right now it's COVID. Things are different. That's what the Constitution is meant to protect. And it was the same back in those days. See, they had the law. Look at John 18:31. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore, the Jew says, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. The law says, the Roman law said, you can't, the Jews couldn't put anyone to death. But, well, now we can't do that. So we're asking you to sort of put that aside. We want you to do this for, be our gun. They didn't care about the law. When did the Pharisees really care about the law? They were always about it when it's the Jesus healing on the Sabbath. But when it had to do with them making false accusations, when it had to do with them coveting, when it had to do with them making false charges, the law goes away. See, the law was not meant to be obeyed just when it's convenient. It's the same today. If you think you can get justice by breaking the law when the law isn't convenient to you, you're not going to ever get justice. And this is why we've got all these fires and flames and riots and things. Why do you want to defund the police, do all these things? Do it lawfully. Get the votes and do what you have to do. Don't burn down somebody's business. And now some of the mayors are saying, oh, the crime's going up. Well, we've defunded the police. Where are the police? Yeah. But the world does that. It says, I will follow the law when the law suits my purpose. But I won't follow the law when it's not convenient for me. And they do it with man's law and they do it with God's law. And you've heard before, they're not 10 suggestions. They're 10 commandments. There's no option. God's law is to be followed. But notice who's doing this. The religious leaders are doing this. They're bringing him to Pilate and they're saying, Pilate, we want you to put this man to death. Why? At the end of this whole thing, Pilate says, I find no fault in him. I don't care. Put him to death. Now remember how I started this. They're going to do the same to you. Jesus said, the way they treated me, they'll treat you. Don't expect that the law will always be followed when you decide to preach, or when you decide to share, or when you decide to love Christ's way. They're going to treat you, the kingdom of this world hates you, and the kingdom of this world will treat you the way it treated your king. And maybe worse, because you're just little subjects and servants. And then they take gossip evidence. Oh, haven't we seen this so much today? 18:34. Jesus answered them, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or do they tell you concerning me?" Pilate, have you done any investigation? Are you just listening to these wagging tongues? I've had that done to me. I've had people say they caught me with prostitutes. When? And look at our president. I mean, like Trump or not, I want you to notice what happened the last couple of weeks. They had a magazine called The Atlantic. This nationwide magazine prints an article saying that our president was over in Europe calling our dead veterans suckers and losers. What was their evidence? Four anonymous sources. Never mind that there have been now 12 or more people who were with him on that day. One of them, including John Bolton, who doesn't like Trump and has written a whole book against Trump, who have all come out on the record and said, it never happened. But no, four anonymous sources. Did they tell you about this? Or the sources that came out when Judge Kavanaugh was being confirmed and then retracted it, but the retraction was too late. Gossip evidence stuck in a little person's ear about this man or this woman or this person. They're going to do this. That's why 1 Peter 3:16 says, if they call you evildoers, make sure they have to make it up. Don't let it be real. It certainly wasn't real in Christ's case. He had never done anything. They'll twist the words. In John chapter 2, he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will lift it up. I will rebuild it. But John tells us clearly what he was saying. He was talking of the temple of his body. He was talking about the resurrection. What did they do? They took those words and they twisted them. They said, first of all, he said he was going to destroy the temple and then raise it up. First of all, he never said he was going to destroy this temple. He said, destroy this temple. Secondly, he wasn't talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He was talking about his body. John makes that very clear. But gossip doesn't care. Gossip tries to ruin the most important thing you have in the human realm is your reputation, your name. A good name is valuable above jewels. And Satan wants to ruin your good name. And he will use gossip to do it. He ruined the name of the Prince of Peace. And he's ruining the name of presidents, and he's ruined the names of kings, and he's ruined the name. And by the way, we need to be very careful ourselves. Because during the presidency of the previous president, whom I disagree with on practically everything, I heard a lot of people on the right gossiping about him too. It's not right no matter who you do it about. It's not right to take anyone. I have come to the defense at times online. Not the defense of the church, the Catholic Church, but I've heard evangelical Christians saying Catholics believe such and such and such and such and such, and I know they don't. So I have to get on there and say, no, they don't believe this. This is what they believe. And then they say, why are you defending the Catholics? I'm not defending the Catholics. I'm defending the truth. This is what Catholics believe, not what you're saying. If you're going to come against them where they are. We cannot be caught up in this gossip evidence. We become like the Pharisees and become like Pilate. And Jesus said, did you investigate this yourself? Or are you just listening to little birdie in people's ears? And then skepticism towards the truth. Pilate, in verse 38, Pilate said to him, what is truth? Come on, Pilate. Or like Biden would say, come on, man. Pilate knew exactly what truth was. At the end of that same, well, next verse, no, that same verse, 38, he says what the truth is. I find no fault in him at all. Listen to those words. From the same verse where at the beginning he says, what is truth? And Pilate is going to live that way. He's going to say, I find no fault. And then for expediency, he's going to crucify him. That's how the world treats truth. What is truth? You know what Pilate's, quote, truth was at that point? He was between a rock and a hard place. See, the Jews had had various riots before. Jesus mentions one of them earlier when he's talking to his disciples about a time that Pilate mixed the blood of certain Jews with their sacrifices. Pilate had overthrown a riot and he'd done it violently. Caesar told Pilate, one more riot, and you're done. So here come the Pharisees, and here come the scribes, and they do the same thing these people are doing now. If you let Jesus go, we're gonna burn it down. Things haven't changed. Pilate crucified Jesus because the Jews threatened to riot, and if they rioted, Caesar was going to take him and take his position and probably his head, possibly. That was the threat. So when they came, said, we have no king but Caesar, Pilate knew, I better do what they say. And he sent Jesus to be crucified. But you know, it never works. Because the enemy just gets bolder. See, you can see here, the Jews had no power to put someone to death. So they brought him to Pilate and they forced Pilate into it. But I want to look a little further in the book of Acts, in chapter 7 in the book of Acts. We're not going to turn there, but I want to remind you what happened. Stephen goes and the Pharisees, these same leaders, he preaches to them and they take him. And what did they do? They stoned him. I thought they had no authority to put anyone to death. They took him and they stoned him. Do you think they feared anything? No, because they knew that Pilate was stuck. That if Pilate came and tried to stop them and they said, well, if you try and stop us, we're going to burn it down. They just got bolder. When the authorities use truth like this, it never gets better. Because every time they push it, they get bolder and they get stronger. And we're going to burn it down and we're going to burn it down. You know, I remember, kids are like this too. I remember hearing a thing on Dobson about a kid. He was a teenager. And he went to the dentist. And he sat down in the dentist chair. Well, he came into the dentist's office, so the dentist said, sit down. And he says, I'm not going to sit down. I'll take my clothes off first. The dentist said, okay, start. So he took off his shirt. Now sit down. No, I told you. And so finally the dentist kept pushing it. The kid kept taking off clothes. The kid was totally birthday suit. And the kid finally realized he didn't have any more clothes to get, and he sat down and they did his dental work and he said, now give me my clothes back. The dentist said, uh-uh. The dentist says, You go out there like that. You talk to your mama. And so the kid comes out into the waiting room, naked as the day he was born. And the mother talked to the dentist later. Now the dentist was risking, if it was some mothers, being sued. You know this. But this mother came and thanked the dentist. Says, you know, my kid has been doing this to me. We go to a store and he says, I want that. And I say, no. And he says, well, if you don't get it to me, I'll take my clothes off. And I've been given in. And somebody finally called his bluff. And now my kid doesn't do that anymore because I've already had the shame of having him walk out into the waiting room like that. And I know I can do it in Walmart. So now he's behaving. You can't give in to the threat. It just gets worse. Pilate eventually lost his reign for this very reason. Didn't help. And finally they came in, the Romans came in 70 AD and destroyed the whole city. Because people went for convenience instead of truth. My truth is I got to have my power and I've got to have my position. I've got to do whatever I can to hold it. The world lives that way. And the sooner we understand that, the sooner we'll be able to respond like Jesus did. See, here's how Jesus responded, and here's how God's kingdom responds. First, he exposed the gossip. He came up in verse 34. He says, these things you're charging me with, did someone just gossip to you? He wasn't going to let Pilate get away with it. He was going to make it clear. This is gossip. You can't let gossip stand. You can't let gossip spread. And we as Christians, sometimes we have trouble with this because someone will gossip to us about so-and-so, quote, just for prayer. Have you ever had that happen? I want you to pray for so-and-so. They're doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can see the person loves telling you they're doing da-da-da-da-da. If you know somebody needs prayer, you don't need to give any details. God knows the details. Have you ever heard people that pray like that? They got to inform God. You know, God, I've got this cold. It's exactly this virus the doctor told me. And God knows what virus it was. God doesn't need all the information. So if I say someone has a certain situation, pray for this person. Just pray for the person. We don't need to know all the details. But when the details come out, you got to stop the gossip. And Jesus did. Pilate, I know this isn't from your investigation. Who told you? What is this? And we need to do the same thing. Whenever someone comes against elected officials or any official and they start spreading things, the thing we need to do always is, where is the provable evidence? It's usually not there. They've usually made a one-sided, lopsided case out of nothing. And it's usually against Christians, and we need to be able to stop it with evidence. Second, you can't follow their methods. You need to follow God's law. Now, if the world's law gives you an advantage, you can use it. Paul did twice. When he was in the jail in Philippi, he said, we're Romans, and now that you come out and get us and take us out, fine. In the temple of Jerusalem, he did the same thing. Are you going to whip me? I'm a Roman and uncondemned. Ooh, they were scared at that point. Use the law of the nation to your advantage when you can. It's totally fine to keep out of danger by using the law, but don't expect the law to solve those problems, the world's law. And don't use it only when it's convenient. We need to be people of order, people of law. And remember that the whole point of the war, this war that Satan is fighting, is not against your body. It's not against your physical. Our weapons are spiritual, it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. You're not fighting people. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Jesus' battle wasn't against Pilate. Jesus' battle wasn't against the Pharisees and the Jews. He told God, his Father, he told him, forgive them because they know not what they do. His battle, our battle, is always against principalities and powers. And it's a mental battle. It's a battle for the truth. It's a battle for thoughts brought into the obedience of Christ. It's a battle for the gospel. It's a battle for the fact that Jesus Christ took all this and died on the cross and rose again so that those who believe in him could be sure they have eternal life. That's what it's about. It's about people's salvation. It's about God's kingdom reaching people and the hearts being filled with the Holy Spirit and us witnessing to that. Don't follow their methods. We cannot win God's battle with Satan's methods. We cannot, as Christians, go out and persecute and falsely accuse and do the things that I've seen, as I said, evangelical Christians do towards the left. We're soldiers of truth. We can't follow their methods. And sometimes you'll feel like your hands are tied. They can do all these fake things and I can't. But remember, you have something they'll never have, and that's the power of God behind you. And that's enough. God with 300, in the case of Gideon, could beat all the powers of those coming against them. With 300 and lamps and pitchers and trumpets. Don't follow their methods. Stand in the true power. Remember the power of Rome. Remember the praetorium, columns and guards and swords and soldiers. And we know how powerful that is because in the garden Jesus just said, I am, and they all fell down. But you have a true power. I want you to notice John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the what? The power to crucify you and power to release you. And I want you to notice what Jesus answered in verse 11. You could have no power at all against me unless it had been granted to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered you to me has the greater sin. He says, you know where your power comes from, Pilate? You're using it wrong, but your power comes from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is not afraid of Pilate's power to crucify. He has no need to be afraid of Pilate's power to crucify. Now, Pilate's power to crucify would cause Jesus amazing pain. He would be whipped. He would have his hands pierced, his side pierced. He would have a crown of thorns thrust on his head. He'd have to try and carry his own cross and fail for lack of blood. He would go through amazing pain and it would kill him. But the power above all powers would raise him from the dead. The power of the world may cause you, as you fight your battle in the power of the Lord, may cause you great pain. It caused Paul great pain. It caused all the disciples great pain. John, the one who wrote this gospel, was boiled in boiling oil and then sent as a 90-year-old to work in the mines of Patmos. It may cause you may be facing, and I may be facing, excruciating pain. But in the end, it cannot harm you. You may have to go through waves and storms, but you'll be safe. Hurt, bloodied, knocked down. Paul said in Romans 8, I die daily. But nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Stand in the true power. Be brave in the true power. Like Joshua, be strong and courageous. And stand. And the world will throw everything they can at you. And you will hurt, and I will hurt. But in the end, nothing will harm you. You are going to live forever in a glorified, perfect body if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And to live is Christ. Pain, Christ. He was in prison, Christ. To die is gain. As things go, and I don't know how bad or how good they're going to be in the future. I'm not a prophet. I just know this. That you and I are called to live for Jesus Christ in a society that's just like it was back in the time of Pilate, that will use the same methods, that will threaten to burn things down around you, that will threaten you with everything. You stand in the shadow of the Almighty and you're safe. Stand in the true power. Build your life on the truth. Look at John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to him, "You are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And then the world says, "What is truth?" And then they come in their minds to the right conclusion. I don't find any fault in this, but they're not going to do it. You are a witness to the truth. The truth. Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus witnessed to the truth. We are Jesus' body. We're to witness and build our lives on the truth. What does that mean? First, obey God's word in everything. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Build your house on the rock. When, not if, the storms come and the winds blow and the rains howl. It'll remain. Build your life on God's word. Stand for what's here in this book. And bear witness to it, like Jesus. You've seen it work. Every one of you here has seen. How many of you have had answered prayers? Raise your hands. How many of you have seen God operate in your lives? You know it's true. It's past belief. You know, like Paul did, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life." You know it. Witness to it. Share with the world what you've not a canned message. What you've seen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Bear witness to the truth. You go out there in the world and they say, "This is the solution. The solution is communism. The solution is capitalism. The solution is socialism. The solution is this. The solution..." No, the solution is Jesus Christ and His word. Bear witness to it. And then live blamelessly before men. What we talked about earlier in 1 Peter 3:16. Live your life before men that if they accuse you of being what they accuse Christ of being, an evildoer, they got to make it up. In your work, don't cut corners. In your work, don't fudge the numbers. Don't take credit for other people's work. In your home, be there for your wife and your children, your husband, your family. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, men. Women, treat your husband the way they deserve to be treated in God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. All the things that have to do with that. Be there. In your financial dealings, pay your debts. do things that they're right with what you have. When the world talks about you and they want to talk badly, make sure they don't have anything real to put on it. Oh, they'll still put things on it. They did with Christ, the only one who never sinned. Witness. Be blameless. And Christ will make sure that in the end, your witness is faithful. You'll get before him and he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much.